John chapter 19, I just want to share just a few brief thoughts this morning with the Lord's help from this wonderful passage. The 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. The Bible reads in verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be? That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Thank you for this day. Now do a great work. Bind the forces of Satan. My, is he busy. I pray that with all the activity he is wreaking everywhere, he would be handcuffed today. And that his presence would not even be sensed or felt. There is somebody greater in the room. And may he be the one that controls this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. I feel a little bit of a preaching storm coming on right about now. If we are to open our Bibles to the most impacting event in Scripture, to the one that would affect us more than any other, can I say if we were to open our Bibles to any page in Scripture, it would be impacting. We could open it to a book of genealogies and listen to one name after another and not get very many details, but the Holy Spirit of God could take genealogies and impact us because the Bible is transforming. Amen. But if we were to open it to the most impactful, the most intense, the most transforming event in Scripture, it'd be the crucifixion. Other passages in the Bible try to do justice to describe this event. Isaiah talked about it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye are healed. His visage was marred. Isaiah depicted him like a rose that was trampled under the ground and withered down. Never was a human being so belittled, so beaten, so bruised, and so brutalized than this man. Matthew talked about it. Mark talked about it. Luke talked about it, and John talked about it. They were each impacted in a different way so that the same event caused each man to share a different detail. Disciples scattered, afraid. Peter followed afar off, worried that whatever was happening to Jesus might happen to him. Sat around a fire and denied that he even knew him. Pilate washed his hands of it. Many of the Jews were screaming and crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Do you realize that Jesus has no beginning and Jesus has no end, that he always has been and always will be, co-eternally existent with God the Father, co-eternally equally existent with God the Holy Ghost of God? In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, Jesus was there when man was made in God's image. Jesus was there when Job said, my Redeemer lives, when David said, he's my shepherd, when Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. In the beginning, Jesus was. And by the way, when every knee bows and every tongue confess, when the new heaven and the new earth, when that earth is suspended in heaven, and when we rule and reign and we spend eternity for all of the ages, Jesus will be there. Do you realize he wasn't created? He was the creator, eternal, immutable, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. There's nobody like Jesus. But at that hour, he was experiencing what he would never experience again. And as he looked to his right, he saw a guilty thief. He looked to his left, he saw another guilty thief. He looked out amongst the crowd, he saw a belligerent mob. Crucify him, crucify him. He looked out at soldiers gambling over his clothes and ripping the other part of his clothes in four. He looked at leaders mocking him. He looked at those confused, disdaining him. At his darkest, lowest hour in all of eternity, he must have scanned the crowd with a panoramic view, spotting just about every segment of society that a man could spot, gathered there for this historical event. But amidst the mob was one individual that meant something to him that none of them did. He had trained 12 unlearned and ignorant men, if you would, for 3.5 years. They meant something to him. Those he had healed, the lame walking, the dumb talking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the withered hand restored, the lepers cleansed, the debtors forgiven, they meant something to him. 5,000 he fed beside women and children, they meant something to him. Blind Bartimaeus meant something to him. That legion possessed with many demons meant something to him. All of those, old Nicodemus that met him by night, meant something to him. Zacchaeus, whose house he came over and gave half of his goods back after God had saved him, meant something to him. All of them must have been on his mind. He thought enough of that thief to say to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But there was one somebody in that crowd that meant more to him than any of the rest of them. And John, unlike any of the other three writers of the Gospels, took notice. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. His mother! At his darkest hour, preparing for this hour, the three closest disciples fell asleep. His most vocal disciple denied him. The ones he healed weren't there. The other eight dispersed. The treasurer betrayed him. But his mother was standing there. Somebody say amen, there's nobody like a mother. At his darkest hour, she didn't hide. At his darkest hour, she didn't run. At his darkest hour, she wasn't embarrassed. At his darkest hour, she didn't deny him. At his darkest hour, she didn't betray him. She couldn't take him off the cross. She couldn't buy his ransom. She couldn't convince them to spare him. But she did what every mother could do and should do. She stood by Jesus. What a great picture of a mother's love. Some of you ought to just pause just for about the next 13 minutes or so and thank God that at your darkest hour, your mother stood by you. I mean, when everybody else dispersed, all your boys and all your homies and all your girlfriends and all those people that said, we'll never depart, we'll never dip on you, we'll always be in your corner, we'll be here all the way till the end. And then your deepest, darkest hour came, they got dispersed. They wouldn't answer your calls. They wouldn't show up. You got to the hospital, your boys never came to see you. You got on the deathbed, you never heard from them. Somebody that passed in your family, they never showed up. Where was their love? Where was their commitment? Where was that loyalty they barked so much about all those years? I'm just simply saying they don't have what it takes sometimes at the darkest hour to be there. But there's something in that woman that's called your mama, your mother, your mommy. There's something in her that happened when that umbilical cord was connected to her, that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what you face, she may not have a lot of money, she may not have a lot of fame, she may not have a lot of influence, but rest assured, mark it down, go to the bank with it, she'll be there standing. Jesus, the human being, went through life for 33 and a half years with a mother. On this Mother's Day, why don't we just thank God that our mothers have stood by us. They're stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Three quick things. I'll be done in about 10 minutes. I want you to think about it today. And after you think about it, go enjoy your mother. If your mother's not here, go thank God for your mother. Amen. Go look forward to when you're going to spend eternity with your mother. Go home and be a good mother. Go pray that when your time to be a mother comes, you'll be like Jesus. Somebody help me preach. I'm just simply saying, there stood by the cross of Jesus. There stood by the cross of Jesus. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Why? Number one, the connection with her son. I want you to notice the scripture. The scripture says, when Jesus saw, verse 26, his mother. Verse 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Then Jesus said to the disciple, behold thy mother from that hour. Notice he said in verse number 26, woman, behold thy son. He looked, if you would, at the disciple John, who had spent much time with Jesus. I want you to notice these personal possessive pronouns mentioned in the verse 25, his mother. 26, thy, his mother. 27, thy mother. I want you to know that this was a, if you would, a connection that could not be broken. Why were they connected? Because of the supernatural birth. You think that Mary, remember when that angel showed up that day and said, you're conceived, and that which you have conceived is born of the Holy Ghost of God. You think Mary remembered when he was born? You think Mary remembered when John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth leaped when Jesus came inside Mary's womb? Do you know what that means? I mean, Mary had Jesus in her stomach. She walked into the presence of Elizabeth, and John the Baptist inside Elizabeth jumped when Jesus, listen to me, if Jesus had people jumping when he was in Mary's womb, why haven't you jumped now? He was affecting people in the womb. There was a supernatural birth. Amen. There was a sentimental bond. Behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He was looking at John saying, I'm leaving. He was looking at Mary saying, I'm leaving. But mama, even though I'm leaving, that boy's going to take care of you. He's going to be your son now that I'm gone. And she's going to be your mama now that I'm gone. Hey, watch this now. I'm telling you, the connection between a mama and a son was so strong that on his deathbed, proverbially, if you would, because the cross was the deathbed of Jesus. Jesus wasn't talking about the disciples. He wasn't talking about those he had healed. He wasn't talking about all the mobs. Jesus, while he was on the cross, a moments before he took his last breath, said, make sure somebody takes care of my mama. Amen. You're a sorry specimen of a scoundrel if you don't believe in taking care of your mama. I'm just simply saying you're not worth much of anything. I used to listen to my daddy say, ain't worth a pluck nickel. And I started saying, then I thought, maybe I ought to see what it means. Pluck nickel. And it tells us back in the early days, there was a certain piece in the middle of a nickel, and they would insert a cheap piece of copper in one of those coins, which would cause it to be devalued. They wouldn't put the right piece inside of it. They'd insert a cheap piece, and people couldn't really see by looking at it that it was inserted with a cheap piece. And when that cheap piece was plugged, if you would, in the middle of a coin, it took all of the value out of that coin. That's why Daddy said, you ain't worth a pluck nuke. In other words, you may dress up, look nice, lift a lot of weights. The girls may think you fine. You hear me now? The boys may think you cute. But if you don't know how to treat your mama right, you ain't worth a pluck nuke. You may look good on the outside, but you got a piece inside of you that means you ain't worth much. Jesus was the Son of God. He said, before I breathe my last breath. A few verses later, he said, it is finished. But before I finish, let me make sure somebody looks out for my mom. What a connection. Number two, not only the connection with her son, she had a supernatural birth, a sentimental bond, a special burden. A mother's going to be there. No matter what, she's going to be there. Amen. Ma'am, we're going on a trip. Can you get off? No, I can't get off. Well, ma'am, we're having a special function. Can you get off? No, I can't get off. I don't have any more sick days. I don't have any more leave. Ma'am, we're going up to Lancaster for sight and sound. You wouldn't admit there's outlets up there. Can you get off? No, I can't get off. Excuse me, ma'am. Your son fell and hit his head. Excuse me, sir. I got to go. Deduct me. Take it out of my paycheck. Fire me. Well, what you gonna do about money? I don't have time to figure that out. My baby's in trouble. I was down in Bible college and I was out on sick stomach and all this stuff, and I called back home, and Daddy said, son, you gonna be all right? Mama said, he down there sick. They were out of town. She said, you better send somebody to get my boy. Amen. Daddy was out of town, but Brother Sieber was a youth pastor. He put Brother Sieber in the car. He said, you and Sister Sieber, y'all go down there and get my boy. No, we ain't going to wait till we get back in town. You go pick him up. He ain't going to be down there in college all up in that little makeshift hospital with stomach hurt, skin breaking out and all that food. Go get my boy. That's a mama's love. The connection with her son. Number two, the credibility of her Savior. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Mary, what are you doing there? That's my son. I gotta be there. Mary, what are you doing? He's not just my son. He's my Savior. Oh, yes, hanging up there. Let me hasten if the Lord would help me. Hanging up there was a credible Savior with an undeniable authenticity, with unparalleled activity that warranted from her unwavering assurance. She said, that's not just a man. That's a God man. That's not just somebody up on the cross. That's the Lamb of God. He's authentic. He's not just the Son of God. He's God the Son. He always has been. He always will be. I know what he's done. I was there when he turned the water into wine. I know how he fed the 5,000. I know how he called people to life. He's not just any man. He's the God man. Listen to me. If you want to be a good mama, don't just have a connection with your son. You better know the credibility of the Savior. You can be the best mama in the world from worldly standards, but if you don't know Jesus, you're missing something. Wow, what a Savior. Let me close with point number three. Don't have a heart attack because I said close. I'm trying to give you time with your mother. Now use it that way or I'll make up for it next service. From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home.
Jesus is gone, Mary. Couple verses later, we read this. It is finished. He bowed his head He gave up the ghost. The human relationship that Mary and Jesus had shared for 33 and a half years ended that day. But Mary and Jesus didn't end that day. No. She was there because of her connection with her son. She was there because of the credibility of her Savior. But she was there because of the commitment of her service. In other words, she was saying, he's leaving. He's going. He's going into heaven. Listen, 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. 40 days after that, he would ascend up into heaven. She would never see him in that way anymore. But she made up her mind, he may be gone, but I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to magnify him. I don't have a lot of time to do this, but I want you to turn over to Acts chapter number 1 just a couple pages later in your Bible. I want you to know in Acts chapter number 1 in this passage of scripture, Jesus looked at those gathered together. He ascended up into heaven. The angel said to them, ye men standing here gazing up into heaven, I want you to know this Jesus who hath ascended into heaven will so in like manner come again. He was saying to them, he left you, but he's coming back one day. Paul put it like this, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody say amen that Jesus is coming again. Mary, he's gone.
What you gonna do? Acts 1 verse 14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Acts 1:14. Hundred and 120 in the room, verse 15. He healed, he fed 5,000. Where are they? Where are all them lepers, all them blind people? Huh?
Where's Bartimaeus? Where's the leper? Where's Legion? In Acts chapter 1, 120 are gathered in an upper room. Why? Because Jesus said, gather.
Tarry at Jerusalem till you've been endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what they were in that room? Because Jesus said, hang on a little bit. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost down. He's going to empower the church. And now that I'm gone, you're going to get a new administrator. And with the potency, dunamis, the power of the Holy Ghost, the miraculous force, the boom shakalaka-laka-laka power of the Holy Ghost of God, you're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. You don't believe it happened? Acts chapter 17, the Bible said they turned the world upside down. Acts chapter 16, the gospel got to, if you would, Philippi. From Philippi, it was European soil. From European soil, it came to America, and from America it got to my heart, because somebody after Jesus died and rose again said he may be gone, but he still lives through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And we're still up here preaching today because we believe we serve a risen Savior. Wait a minute, so did Mary.
Amen.
And when a bunch of people scattered, he's gone. Why go on? There's a congregation of a remnant. All them people Jesus touched, only 120 of them are in a room. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost of God came down. Guess who was there? Mary. And then you don't hear anything else about her for the rest of the Bible. But that's enough. Amen. That's enough to tell me that Mary had a sustained focus and steadfast faithfulness. Listen to me. If after seeing her boy brutalized like Calvary's experience did to him, for her, 43 days later or so, to be waiting in an upper room to receive a promise that her son who had died had promised her, you got to know we got enough from Acts 1:14 to assume she served him till she died. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, the connection with her son, the credibility of her Savior, and the commitment of his service. Are you glad of her service? Are you glad, thankful for your mother today? Amen. I'm thankful for the way my mom has stood by me, But I'm thankful even more for the way she has stood by Jesus. Because her ability to stand by him has given her the ability to stand by me. If you're a mom today, I know you got your children's back. But what about your Lord? See, you could never be a better mama than the mama you are for being a servant of Jesus Christ. The most excruciating event in biblical history is Jesus on the cross. And the Bible says, there stood by the cross of Jesus, guess who? His mother. Amen. Our Father, thank you. Help us, Lord. Help us. We live in a world today where there's such a breakdown in the home. So sad. Help us. By the way, you may be here today, and your mother's not perfect. Nobody is. But she's still your mother. And God gave you her for a reason and gave her you for a reason. And whatever time you had with her was a gift from God. That same John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So how can I pay my mama back? Do right. All over the building. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I'm saved, then I know it. You may put your hand down. Now, if you just raise your hand, how many say, preacher, pastor, in some way, forget about just women or moms, or in some way, the word of God challenged me today about the gratitude for my mom, about commitment to my children, about the credibility of Jesus, about the way I should serve him. God spoke to me, and on this Mother's Day, I don't just want to be the best mom, the best daughter, best son. I want to be the best Christian I can be. All over the building, would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. One more question. Let me put them down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Would you raise your hand just long enough for me to see it? Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being honest. I respect that. Someone else. But join this honest, humble young man. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Listen to me. You could never give your mother a better Mother's Day present than accepting Christ as your Savior. And you could never do anything better for yourself than that. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody else? Let's stand together. If God spoke to you today, you come find your place on the altar. You're a young person, or you're a mom, or you're a husband, or wherever you are, you put your hand up. God spoke to you. You come find your place on the altar. Father, bless the word. May it touch hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen.